Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just saying, before you listen to this week's episode, why not watch it? That's right, this was recorded as the second in our season of live streams on our world tour. This one, we were live from Asia. Can you believe that?
I can, I was there. Oh, yeah. You were talking to them?
No, I was talking to you.
Okay, great.
And if you'd like to watch this as well as last week's episode and the next two episodes, you can even get a season pass where you get four shows for the price of three, and you can watch at any time at sospresents.com. It includes the episode and then also an extra bonus show that we did just for the live stream. All right, here's the audio. Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki, and as always, I'm here with Jess Perkins, and you guessed it, it's Matt Stewart.
I did guess it, and my name is Jess Perkins.
Oh, hey Jess Perkins, I'm Matt Stewart, and he's Dave Warnicki.
Thank you.
If you hadn't met him as yet.
How wonderful.
It's great to be here.
Yes, it
so
is.
So good to be here.
We're doing a world tour on live streaming. And it is so good to be here in Asia this week.
That's where we are.
So we're doing these live at an appropriate time for different regions of the world. And it is prime time, 7 p.m.-ish in Asia. It's 7 p.m. in China right now, I do believe. So, you know, they've probably turned Neighbours off. They've probably switched off The Simpsons repeat.
Wow.
And they're going, you know what? We've got a live stream straight in from the Stupid Old Studios in Shanghai.
They're choosing us over Simpsons reruns.
Well, I find that hard to believe. Okay.
Well, I've just checked the viewership here, and the entire country is tuning in right now. There is over a billion people watching this
stream. And I still don't have 10,000 followers on Instagram. You're joking.
Sorry about that.
You are joking.
I believe some of their websites are geo-blocked, so let's blame that.
If they could, they would.
Exactly.
If they could, they
if they could, you'd have over a billion followers.
Whoa, that's too much responsibility.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I hope somebody's listening to this in the future and they're like, what are you talking about? She has like 20,000. You know what I mean?
20 billion.
Yeah.
Every person on earth just created three accounts each just to follow you.
That'd be sick.
Are you some sort of global dictator?
Yes. But like a fun one.
Yeah. Know what I mean? It's about time someone brought the fun back to fundamentalism, I think.
Could not agree more.
The fun police, but the actual fun police.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, what is this show?
Well, I would love to explain it, but unfortunately my job's been taken by someone else this week. Dave put the call out a while ago to ask for 60s-style jingles to explain the show.
Because we're no good at explaining it 5 years in.
It's so hard.
It's really hard. And then, yeah, I put the call out. We had our first one last week from Puerto Rico, and it was an absolute banger. I loved it.
It was great.
But, yeah, they've continued to come in, and I believe Matt has organised to play one now.
Yeah, so we've got one. This one, I believe, is coming from Australia only because they reference Triple M.
Okay.
This is from Jason Harrison. He says, it's not really a 60s TV theme, more of an American late night show crossed with Triple M.
Okay.
he said, but this is my submission for a silly intro theme. So, yeah, this one will explain everything.
Great.
Hit it.
Coming at you from Stupid Old Studios in Melbourne, Australia. This is the show where one of them does a report on a topic and the other two sit quietly and listen. This is Jess, Matt and Dave, and this show is called Dude Go On.
Ooh.
Can I just say that song made me think Triple M rocks football. Yeah.
Triple M, Triple M. That was so succinct.
Jason, that was fantastic.
Why have we struggled so much?
Do you reckon he scripted it or that was just off the cuff?
I don't know. It made me feel good. Made me feel happy. Jeez, was that a samba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was nearly a Jimmy Barnes.
He's got piano in his email address, so I reckon he probably played it.
That's sick.
And yeah, that felt real good.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Do you think he's any relation to George?
I can only assume yes.
Yeah.
I mean, how common a name is Harrison?
I've never heard of it before.
So, yeah. It's probably his nephew or some shit.
Yeah, I reckon.
Awesome. How good's that?
Probably his son.
Whoa.
It's probably George Harrison.
Could it be?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's quite an honor.
That's huge.
I mean, it is anyway. Even if you're not.
But even more so if you're a
even,
Beatle.
Honestly, obviously, even more so.
I mean, come on.
Even more so if you are the Beatle who died before we started this podcast.
Mm.
That would be a real honour.
That would be pretty crazy. So now that we know how this show works.
So we always start with a question. It is my turn to do the report that Jason spoke about there. And the question to get us onto topic is, who is the most successful pirate in history?
Bluebeard. Blackbeard.
We already did.
Redbeard.
I've got a clue here. Clue, it ain't Blackbeard,
uh-huh.
And it ain't Long John Silver or even Captain Feathersword.
Is it a lady pirate?
It is a lady pirate.
Oh.
There's been...
seen this in the hat.
Yeah.
I reckon I put her up for a vote.
I think I might have as well, and the name completely escapes me now.
Okay, so the subtitle might be The Chinese Pirate Queen, and we are talking about Ching Shi.
Yes. This has been suggested by a few people.
Yeah, quite a few people have suggested. I put it up for a Patreon vote. I put up three topics all set in Eastern Asia, and this was the clear winner, so thanks to everyone that voted. And thanks to all the people that have suggested it over the years, going honestly years back. So first of all, a listener that we used to speak to a lot, Cecil, suggested it way back. Jacob Buckler, get ready for this name, Bernard Antonio Vera McCaffrey.
Fuck yes, Bernard.
All one name. Johnny Dawson, Brielle Strobel, Abby Garland, Josh Wan, Darcy Williamson, Bryce Richards and Kelly Trey.
God damn, some good names in there.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Great batch of names.
This.
Awesome.
So you guys, I reckon I've put up for the vote before. She's come second, I think.
Yeah.
You guys have done a similar thing?
I think so, yeah. I think I must have put it up to the vote at some point. And I haven't, you know, sometimes when you're going through the hat and you're looking for things to maybe put to the vote, you do like a quick preliminary check to go, is there any information on this story? Or so maybe sometimes you do like a very quick one paragraph read. I can't remember anything. I don't know if I've read much, if anything, about this topic. So I'm very excited about this.
Awesome. Well, there's not too much info on there out there, but what I have found is quite interesting. So,
okay.
Let us begin. Very little is known about the early life of the woman that would become known as Ching Shi. She basically pops up in the history books as an adult in 1801. This was during the Qing Dynasty, which was the last imperial dynasty of China, lasting from 1644 to 1912. And Ching Shi was probably born somewhere around the Guangdong province of China in about 1775, meaning that when she pops up, she's probably 25 or 26.
Yeah, okay.
She was then working as a sex worker in a floating brothel in the city of Canton.
Floating brothel?
Yeah, never even thought of that. Of course.
International waters?
Yeah.
Is that what they were just trying to get off the land laws?
It makes everything better, international waters.
Yeah. Forget a waterbed. Obviously, that's helpful in the trade. Have a water bloody whole boat.
Have a water boat.
A water boat.
Get yourself a water boat.
Yeah.
First of all, I used to have a regular boat. It didn't do much. So I got a water boat.
Yeah.
And now everything's great.
Honestly, I sleep so well now on my water boat.
So according to Medium.com, which has an article about Jingxi, quote, these boats would sail along the nearby coasts with a customer on board. Back then, the Chinese perceived that the rocking of the boat added an entirely new dimension to sexual pleasures and enhanced the overall experience.
At that time in history, did they not know you could move during sex?
Yes. Very, very stationary.
Honestly, when the boat moves, it actually kind of makes it better.
Otherwise, it used to take days.
Just like very
bit of emotion
still.
There. Oh, we're both having a good time now. Before, neither of us was.
Oh, we're done in 3 minutes.
Yeah,
we got 4 days back up the sleeve now.
Well, it's pretty choppy out. So during the late 1700s in China and Vietnam, land was annexed and chopped up and redistributed by many parties, and many displaced farmers and fishermen turned to a life of piracy to survive.
Okay,
they lost their jobs.
Yep.
We got to do something.
Piracy.
Piracy. That makes sense.
The bush rangers of the sea, I like to call them. There you go.
The bush rangers of the sea? Yeah.
So a rebellion broke out on the Vietnam-China border, and one of the rebels provided money to pirates to take revenge on China.
Okay.
So basically, he won the war, and then China and him eventually made up. But he never forgave them. So to secretly fuck up their shit, he started giving money to pirates, being like, you'll work this out for me. And this meant that in the 1790s, piracy in the South China and the South China coast rapidly increased.
Right.
Because there's more money in piracy now. It was in 1801 that today's main character, Jingxi, married notorious pirate Cheng Yi, also known as Zheng Yi, who was the leader of the Red Flag fleet of pirates.
Okay.
Which is a pretty badass name.
Yeah. Oh, Red Flag.
Red Flag.
It's not the scariest gang name.
Okay. I'd like to hear a scarier one.
Fire Skulls.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You try. I mean, no pressure, only if you want to.
Boggy Boys.
Boggy Boys. That's scarier than Red Flag Pirates.
What's the gang symbol for the Boggy Boys?
It's a four-wheel drive, and the back two tires are like half covered in mud.
But
they are bogged.
They're all leaning.
They are bogged.
With their thumbs up because they're not fast.
Yeah. And a few of them are doing this.
Yeah.
Doing some shuckers because they're the boggy boys.
Yeah, we're bogged, but we're not bummed. We're happy to be here.
We love to be bogged.
Yeah.
It's when we're our happiest.
Our wet boat is bogged.
So, yeah, anyway, okay. Oh, scary pirates. Oh, Red Flag Gang. Whatever.
And so she's married Cheng. His family had been pirates for generations. Very famous pirate family. He had managed to unite many rival Chinese pirate organizations. And because of this, he exerted a lot of power in China and in Vietnam.
Okay.
So he was a bad boy.
All right.
In 1798, he kidnapped a 15-year-old boy named Chung Po Sai, who was the son of a fisherman. Cheng took Chung, which Cheng Po Sai, which translates to Cheng Po the Kid, under his wing and treated him like a son. Chung Po was a talented pirate, being smart, brave, and a good fighter, and Chung eventually adopted the teenager as his own.
Oh, okay. He kidnapped him.
Yeah, he stole him from his family.
Then he trialed him out for a bit.
Yeah.
He went, oh.
This
kid's got what it takes.
He passed a few pirate tests.
What?
Then they had to go into like the council offices, fill out some forms, make it official. Is that what you're telling me?
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, right.
So these pirates do everything by the book. That's one thing that's very important.
I respect
them.
That. I love rules. So he's kidnapped a kid. He's gone, maybe you could be useful to me. I'll adopt you.
Maybe you could be the heir to my throne.
Yeah, Tom, he wanted
someone
to take over.
My water throne.
Ah, my water closet. No, that's...
That's different.
Son, one day this water closet will be yours. Really?
Thank you.
That's what they call closets on boats.
Water closets.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Yeah, it's water everything.
A king once accidentally shat in his boat's closet, and he said, no, I meant to. Water closets are for shitting in. And that's how it got its name.
Yeah. That is true.
It always comes back to kings.
It does. Kings.
Kings can do anything.
If they stuff something up, they've got the power to be like, nah.
Yeah.
Meant to be. Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
It's always some sort of king-related administrative error.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good on kings.
Good on kings. They've had it too hard for too long.
Yeah, poor kings.
Give them a bloody go.
So it's unclear how Cheng Yi first met the 25-year-old sex worker that would become his wife. Some sources say that he was infatuated with Ching Shi and ordered his men to bring her to him when they ransacked the brothel. Others say that he just asked her to marry him. Either way, a beautiful romantic story.
Gorgeous, yeah. Gorgeous. Every girl's dream.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's an either way scenario there, Dave. I think one of those is more romantic than the other.
Which one?
I'm not going to say. I'm not here to be telling people what is and what isn't romantic. I'm just saying, definitively, one of those is and one of those isn't.
Do you reckon that romance is quite subjective?
No. Good grief, no.
Okay. Yeah, sorry I asked a stupid question there.
What's the most romantic
there's
thing?
There's one way to romance.
What's the most romantic thing?
What's the only romantic thing?
Yeah, universally accepted as the most romantic. Only romantic thing.
Thing?
Yeah.
Like object?
Yeah.
Oh, it's obviously a big piece of metal and a rubber outer coating.
Right, like some sort of aluminium baseball bat.
Mate, you are making my heart sing right now.
Just baby, I love you this much.
Yeah. I'm learning so much from you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm learning so much about you.
You just hit my love out of the park.
Wow. This ain't no foul ball.
My love.
Hey, my heart bases are loaded. And we're on the second strike. Four balls.
You're losing this analogy.
Come on.
Just say to Dave World to Series. Do go on. Just tell Dave to do go on.
Crowd's full.
You're my Babe Ruth.
They're all watching us. You've just pointed to the stand. Then to my dick. You knocked it out of the park.
Knock the dick out of the park, all right?
Oh, my God. Are you
the only
right?
romantic thing.
Do you need a hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Your dick just got knocked out of the park.
With love.
Oh.
Okay. If it's with love, that's all right.
That's all right then.
So we're not sure how they got together. But either way, the moment this woman pops up in history, we realize that she must have commanded some sort of real presence because she married Cheng, this famous pirate guy. And she was immediately granted a 50% control and share of his pirate crew.
As it should be.
Mm.
You know?
Should have got her to sign a prenup.
What's yours is mine.
They did not sign a prenup. So, yeah.
Wow. So she's like quite suddenly very powerful.
Exactly. Really moved up in the world.
Yeah.
Diane H. Murray in Pirates of the South China Coast, which is a book on this era, she says, Ching participated fully in her husband's piracy. So she wasn't just a bystander. She was straight in there.
Yeah.
Walking planks.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Testing planks.
Swabbing the poop decks.
Mm. Swabbing them. Sharpening swords.
Oh, yeah. Top to bottom. She was involved in every inch of the business.
Loading accounts, the cannons.
Invoicing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Inventory.
But also killing cunnies. She'd do that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
big
yeah.
job.
That was her favorite thing. Yeah. But she'd finish also, the accounts, then go kill 100 people.
Yeah, yeah, and then like put in an order for more toilet paper.
Yeah, yeah, to mop up the blood of her enemies.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what reminded her. She used the last bit to mop up blood and went, oh, bloody hell.
Oh, God.
I gotta get some new bog rolls.
I could get a mop, but that's not how we do things around here.
No.
For some reason.
We use toilet paper to mop up blood and we use mops to wipe our asses.
That's right. History. Hey?
We've learnt things. Weird sometimes. You know? Yeah.
You know? Some of their customs might seem a little strange to us in the future. But it worked for them. So she's granted 50% of the business. She was also granted 50% of his son because she formally adopted the now 18-year-old Chung Po as her own son.
Okay, but he's 18.
He's 18.
Does he need to be adopted now?
Well, according
it's really just more like a...
Which half, do you reckon, she took?
Bottom.
Top half? Bottom. She took the bottom half. Wow. The legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the pirate game, they're the ones you want. Spare legs.
Yeah.
Because they're often... Taking wood.
Yeah.
Pegs. But if you've got two spare legs.
There you go.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
someone
smart.
Someone loses a leg. Easy peasy, got another one here.
I thought top half was my first instinct.
That top
was
half? Sick. Very yappy.
Yeah, yappy. Very yappy.
Legs can't
not
chat
very
back
leggy.
You,
no.
I was also a bit like, why would you adopt an 18-year-old? According to Atlas Obscura, which has another article on this, unlike in the West, adult adoption was often practiced in China in order to establish a kinship basis for further interaction, particularly of a business type. So he was in line basically to the throne of this pirate kingdom.
Yeah, right.
Huh.
So she's like, yeah, we'll adopt you formally. But really, he was more of a protege than a son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But is she not mid-20s? So she's only slightly older than him?
Yep.
Okay.
But she did make him call her mum.
Yeah, fair enough. I make most people call me mum, to be fair. Yeah, as you know.
Yes, mum. It feels weird every time, but you insist.
I'm 2 days older than you. You call me mum.
Yeah. That's the rule. But they were now a fully functioning pirate family unit.
Aww.
They began to run the pirate fleet together.
Aww.
Beautiful.
This can't go wrong, in my eyes.
It can't. And this family unit turned out to be great at piracy. With Cheng and his wife and now adopted son at the helm, the Red Flag Fleet quickly grew.
Still think you could use a name change.
Red Flag Fleet.
Red Flag Fleet.
Yeah. Red Flag Fleet. Yeah, it's tricky. I think it's going to slip people up.
The RFF?
Yeah.
Hmm?
FF. That's fun. RFF.
RFF.
That is fun.
Okay, good. I'll call on that for now and if I can remember. Through a combination of violence and Cheng's reputation, they were able to form an alliance with rival Cantonese fleets. In a few years, they went from 200 ships to more than 600 ships.
Whoa.
Eventually peaking at an estimated 1,700 to 1,800 ships.
Get out of town. What would you name them all? They've all got names.
One, two.
Yeah, that's the only easy way.
Bill.
Yeah, oh no, Dave.
The system has really lost it.
One number two. Two.
Bill 2-2. Two.
Bill the second. Won the bill.
It sounds complicated, but once you memorize it, it's very easy.
Yeah. One bill, two.
One bill, two, one.
One bill, two bill.
All the way between for 1800.
That's so many boats.
What year-ish was this again?
Early 1800s now.
Right.
Or late 1790s. These ships were junk ships, which is a type of sailing ship. The word junk comes from a translation of a Javanese word for ship, jong, which the Portuguese translated as junco, and then in English it developed into junk.
Junk ships. Okay. It's like in every house there's a junk drawer.
Exactly.
You know, it's where like scissors and ribbons. Mm, and
second or third drawer. There's a ship in there, yeah. And that's where they...
Gotcha.
You think of scissors as junk?
To be fair, that's always where the left-handed scissors were in my house.
Oh, yeah, they're junk.
Yeah,
oh left-handed scissors.
They have
junk.
I can't think of one use.
The normal scissors would be out, like, you know, with pens.
They're like
stuff.
On display.
Yeah, they're it's handy. Like
a they're but hanging out with their friends. They're living their lives.
Yeah.
They're cool. They're popular.
And there's like two or three pairs.
Scissoring down the street.
Because they're used so often they get worn out.
Yeah.
So used by everyone.
Yeah, everyone loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Everyone.
It is good, isn't it? I love scissors.
The fleet ended up being so large that they had to colour code them.
Ah, that makes more sense. The one bill, two bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect system, but
they used the Weezer system.
Yeah, that's right. The blue album. Black
weird
album.
They were calling them album.
Yeah.
How do you get 1,700 different colours, though?
Oh, you just have to be creative.
You go to Dulux.com.
How did Derwent do it?
Yeah, they could do it, yeah.
How do they do it?
Cyan.
Yeah.
Magenta.
Yes.
Crimson.
Ooh.
Claret.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Bill.
What's claret?
Red. It's one of the reds.
Yeah, cool. Don't know that one. Now I've learned something. Again, I learned so much from you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm a font of wisdom. Fount of wisdom?
The lead fleet where we found Cheng and Ching, that was red, so they're the red flag.
Okay.
The other colours were black, white, blue, yellow and green.
Okay.
And it says here font.
Ah.
Ah.
Perfect. That's so funny. That's just what Matt was saying.
There you go.
Wow.
But sadly, all good things must come to an end.
It is so early for an all good things must come to an end.
Wait, no.
Well, the name we all know her now in history, Ching Shi, that actually translates as Cheng's widow.
Oh.
And she got that name because Cheng died. It wasn't like a funny nickname and then he died and suddenly they're like, geez, this is a bit awkward. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
We've been calling you, we've been calling him Dead Man Walking as a joke and now he's dead.
That is amazing that her name... What you've been calling her is her ex-husband, widow.
Yeah, Cheng's that's what it translates. Because that's what she's known as in history. It's they're not even that sure what her name was at 25 when she appears in history. She became...
I've got a quick theory.
Yeah.
She Here just hit the scene. All of a sudden, he dies and she takes over. He's been very generous, giving her everything. I reckon it's like an Adam Sandler scenario where the same guy's playing both characters. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh.
She's gone. She's like, oh, where's Chan? And it was getting too much. She was having to come back to the poop deck.
That's
hard. She's like, oh, you want my husband, Cheng? Well, sorry, I'm Cheng Shi. Is that right? And she looks in the mirror and then she runs off and she has to get her man hair on. And she comes back.
Yeah.
And it got so tiring. She's like, I'm killing off the man character.
Yeah.
It was fun for a bit, but I've established myself now.
And then you also get a bit of the sympathy as well.
Right.
Yeah, so totally.
It sort of helps you.
Yeah. I love sympathy.
Do you always you crave it?
Well, I love it. Give it to me.
So, sadly...
Hey, you'll be all right, you little trooper.
Just go,
aww.
Yeah. That's the good shit.
That's what you wanted?
Aww.
Look at her have a go.
Aww. That's the good shit.
So, sadly, Cheng has died. His death in Vietnam at the age of 39, 6 years into their marriage, was quite unexpected.
So, it was 6 years of her to-ing and fro-ing.
That's a lot of effort.
That's so much time to Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm. Good commitment to the bit, I mean,
there's only
say.
So many cream pies in China. That
yeah. Hello!
I have it on good authority she did speak like that.
So, do you know how he died?
No, there's many, many theories. Some say he died in like a typhoon. Other people say that he may have been poisoned. There's many.
What do you reckon?
I think he died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they were still married.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Matt, do you
I mean,
any
six
theories?
Years is a long time.
Well, Dave said typhoon, he said poison. I think one or both.
Yeah.
Typhoid poison.
Oh, typhoid.
Typhoid.
Did I say typhoid poison?
Yeah.
I did not mean to. That almost makes sense.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I was like, God, he's really on tonight.
I thought that was very good. And that is one that turns out you just misspoke.
I was thinking that was the wittiest thing you've ever said.
No, look, my brain took over there, but that won't be happening again.
Even when you misspeak, it's hilarious.
I can't
what
miss.
What is it like being you?
A genius. It's the only way I've ever known. So.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't know any different.
It's true.
God, jeez.
So with her husband dead, Cheng Shi needed to act quickly if she was going to consolidate power.
Okay.
She didn't want to return to her old life. Their adopted son, Chung Pao, was next in line to the leadership. So she had to maneuver quickly if she was going to hang on to the power. So Cheng Shi took her own stepson, Cheng Pao, as her lover, and the two eventually married. So she stayed on as leader. So she married her adopted son.
I don't love that.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's...
You know what I mean?
It's, yeah. Well, Dave was saying it was basically business earlier. He was already an adult.
Yeah, and you even
and
point out
they're about the
age gap's not that big. And by this time, he's 25 and she's 30 or something.
Yeah, I mean, the optics aren't great.
Yeah. I still don't like it. And that's my opinion. But I mean, okay, but yeah, I see that it's a power move.
Yeah, she marries the next leader.
Yeah,
they can rule together basically, and it also
rule.
Yeah, woo. It also probably helped that she rounded up some traitors and had them publicly executed. So nothing like lopping off a few heads to assert your dominance.
Absolutely, yeah, that's what I do.
Female pirate leaders were not common at this time. I'll just point out, and pirate historian. Dan H. Murray writes of only one other, Mrs. Hon Cho Lo, who was active in Hong Kong in the first half of the 20th century.
Wow.
So, yeah.
She's very rare.
Yeah, she is obviously a bit of a presence if she can hang on to the power. And as leader, Cheng Shi was an absolute badass who took no shit from no one. She had a strict set of rules, serious pirate code that she expected everyone to live by.
Wipe your feet at the door.
Yeah, that's right. The door of the ship.
The door of the ship.
Great.
Ships have doors, Dave. How do you get into them otherwise?
Helicopter.
Ah.
Which helicopters do have doors? Well, some of them. One of those open ones without doors.
Yeah. And then you have to jump from that.
Yeah, roll off.
Onto the top of a ship.
Yeah.
So to you, ships are only the top part of a ship. There's no underneath or...
They're like a floating platform.
Mm. Okay.
A barge.
Yeah, a barge.
A barge.
A barge.
Yeah, it's a barge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that one of her rules?
Yeah, that, no. One of her rules was any loot and or plunder that was seized had to be first presented to the fleet and registered. After this, it was distributed, but the ship captured it keeping 20% of the value, while the remaining 80% was placed into the fleet's collective fund.
Oh, okay.
Was the phrase loot and plunder in there? So are you quoting Captain Planet?
I did quote Captain Planet.
Yeah, I knew you did. Yeah, I did. Saying loot and plunder.
You will pay for this, Captain Planet. Yeah, I put that in there. So you keep 20%, 80% goes to the business. I imagine they needed some pirate accountants on staff.
Yeah, god damn.
To keep track of it all.
Which she was already doing, but
she did it all.
Deputize a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of leadership is delegating.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope she is, sort of handing that out and taking some time for herself.
It's hard when you're a perfectionist. You want to get everything done just right.
You're telling me.
And I think she probably was.
Yeah.
But in time she started.
You know Dolly Parton looks over her own accounts?
Yeah, perfectionist.
She does her own accounting.
She has accountants, but then she'll have a look over herself.
She double checks.
Yeah.
Wow. So she's really good on Excel.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She knows how to do all the sums and shit.
That'd really take the pressure off if you're her accountant. You're like, she's just going to fix it anyway.
Yeah.
No worries.
I'd be freaking out that she'd be, what's that, Warren? And he's like, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I don't know anymore.
God, what's that tax? What does that mean? Do we pay that here? It should be noted that anyone caught disobeying the pirate code and stealing or hoarding treasure was immediately executed by having their head removed from their body.
Okay. And how would they do that?
A very big sword.
Oh, they wouldn't just twist until maybe. It...
Yeah, yeah.
They lopped it.
They lopped it off.
Yeah, right. Classic lop.
This wasn't the only rule implemented by Ching Shi. Pirates who gave unauthorized orders or those who refused to follow orders from a commander were also executed on the spot.
Okay.
This sounds like the kind of system where people start to die maybe when they don't deserve to.
You might be right. You might be right.
Look, if you said that, you'd have your head chopped off.
Yeah.
It's like we've had stories like this in the past, like the witch hunt and stuff, where it'd be like all of a sudden people like settling scores with friends. They're hoarding treasure.
Yeah.
She kissed the guy I liked.
Yeah.
And she's hoarding treasure.
Yeah. Off with her head.
No one was to steal from the public fund or any villages that supplied the pirates. Many villages were captured and supplying pirates became the whole town's job.
Supplying them with just anything they needed.
Yeah, food, drinks, souvenirs.
Oh, yeah, magnets.
Everyone gets a magnet. That was another rule.
I want to be a pirate.
For a small second, I thought you said magnum and I was more excited.
Yeah.
The ice cream?
Yeah.
Everyone gets a magnum, but check your magnum ego at the door. female prisoners were to be... but unfortunately, ships don't have doors, so that
doesn't
quite
work. That's one of the dumbest things anyone's ever said.
Check your magnum ego at the door.
Look, if I could, I'd have your head chopped off right now for that insubordinate.
Dave, can we get a magnum on the way home?
Oh my God, we're going to get magnum. I'm driving Jess home after this. We're going to get magnums on the way home, aren't we?
Yeah.
Wow. But Matt, check your magnum ego at the door, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you're jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
So back to the rules. Female prisoners were to be treated much more respectfully than other parts of the world at the time. Rape was treated as an extremely serious offence, and any offenders were immediately executed.
Yep.
Lopped.
So that sounds good, but in the case of consensual premarital sex, both the offenders were executed. So no banging on company time.
Oh, even if the boat is rocking?
Yeah.
So sorry, that was premarital. Were people married? I guess that would make sense.
Pirate weddings.
Yeah, what are they like?
That's funny that they're pirates, but
we
do not do premarital sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if we do, we get killed, apparently.
It's not. It's really not worth it then, is it?
No. Well,
not from my
not how you do it.
Female prisoners were also segregated based on their looks. The weak and unattractive ones were freed as soon as possible.
Yes!
Which, it would be hard to know how to take that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd be like, I want to be freed, but also, what a way to find out.
I would tell myself I'm weak. Not unattractive, just weak. You know?
I'm a double threat.
I'm weak and unattractive. Oh, mate. Join the club. All right. The hot ones were held back for ransom. So, which is,
what about the average ones?
Oh, that line ball call. You'd be like, you got to get a second opinion. What do you reckon about this one? Oh.
Yeah.
Nah, free him.
Free him. They're like, oh, piss off.
Come on.
Okay, I'm having a bad day. I've got a pimple, but
I've got
usually,
a shiny forehead.
Exactly,
okay.
Usually I wipe down my face and I look great.
Because I'm certainly not weak. I'm an absolute tank.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to be gathering much ransom money. You know what I mean? So I think they should let me go.
Yeah, right.
But not because I'm weak.
No. Because you're ugly. Is that what you're saying? Am I following that logic?
Yeah. I would like that clip just taken out of context, and then I can just use that against Matt.
Yeah. Remember that time that you were putting Jess down?
Remember that time you called me ugly?
Jess, you might be ugly, but that is not your value.
I like the idea that the pirate, every time they announce whether you'd be freed or captured, they'd say, look, you're going to have to go home, but not your value.
Yeah.
Not, in this case, it is your value in terms of how much we're going
to ransom you for. But honestly, it's a good thing, isn't it? Because it means you get to go home.
You get to go home.
Yeah. And you probably won't die.
So basically it meant that the villages left behind, there were entire villages full of ugly people.
Yeah, right, because they kept all the hotties.
And that would have, like, that's probably still having an effect today.
Yeah.
There'd be villages in the area of ugly people.
Uggos.
But pirate villages.
And weak uggos.
Yeah.
But there'd be pirate villages full of only hot people.
Imagine the amount of jars in those weak uggo villages that go unopened.
Most of them starved. Everything was in jar form.
But there was all just smashed jars on the ground. People died from eating glass.
Pirates could marry these hot captives, but only if they agreed to it.
Only if the pirates agreed.
Only if the women were like, yeah, I'll marry you.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
There's no force.
And you're setting yourself up for some brutal reality checks when you go, hey, if you marry me, you can be free.
Mm.
No.
I'll stay a prisoner. They close the gate. Yeah.
Thank you, though.
They close the door
of
their cell themselves. That's all right. Thanks.
Throw away the key. That's fine.
Stay here. Thank you.
Happy to rot. Thanks.
More slop, please.
I'm waiting for a better pirate offer.
Yeah.
Finally, anyone who tried to desert was captured and had their ears cut off. Other punishments included flogging, quartering, and clapping the offenders in irons.
Oh, okay. When clapping sounded good, it was only in irons that
yeah,
that bad.
Less good.
Just a huge applause.
What is quartering?
You would be chopped into four bits.
Okay, so it's as it sounds.
And yeah. You probably don't...
Hung, drawn, and quartered. I'd heard that a lot and I never knew what it meant.
You probably don't really survive that, do you? Being quartered.
No.
No, but it's a horrible way to go because they hang you till you nearly die.
Yeah.
And then the drawing part is when they cut you open, rip your intestines and stuff out.
I mean,
and then they chop you in four.
That feels unnecessary. I think that's starting to reflect poorly on the pirates if they're behaving in that
way. They're going a bit far, hey?
Yeah. Let's just make it quick.
Yeah. You know? Behead me.
Just better. Hop it off.
Hop it.
Come on. Imagine being like, I'd really prefer to just lop my head off if you don't mind.
And I mean,
it'll save you
time. I'd rather have my head lopped. Thanks very much.
So it was a pretty brutal world. Yeah. But because of this, Ching Shi's gang was extremely loyal and fierce in attack, even when outnumbered. If you're going to die for giving up anyway, you might as well fight on because you've got a chance.
Yeah, okay.
So they were like...
Backs against the wall stuff.
Yeah, stuff. It's like, well, if I run away, they'll kill me. But if I keep fighting, we might win, even if we're outnumbered. So they were very loyal.
Wow.
They made money by looting and capturing entire towns, taxing and collecting this cash and supplies from its inhabitants. It's been said that her dominance was so absolute that not a single ship moved in the whole South China Sea without the knowledge of Ching Shi's army.
Wow.
If any ship wanted to cross the South China Sea, which is massive, they had to pay a fee or they'd be plundered and possibly sunk along the way.
Wow. Again, sinking, not great.
No, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
They're quartering the boats.
The same rules for people actually do apply to boats as well.
Right, we'll chop your ears off the first time.
No pre-marital boat sex.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. We catch you.
Bumping uglies. Dunk, dunk.
Dunk, dunk. That's hot.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's how little tugboats get made.
I love tugboats. Yeah. They're so little and so strong.
Do you see yourself in them, don't you?
Yes, because I'm very small and dainty, so small. But so strong.
So strong. Wow. What do you got in those legs, iron?
Yes. A very strong motor.
Yeah. So not surprisingly, the Chinese monarchy did not like her, and neither did the other global superpowers of the time. But her crew evaded capture, and anyone that went after her regretted it. Chinese, Portuguese, and British naval ships were all lost to Ching Shi's fleet.
Wow.
So, like, entire armies, they'd be like, we're not going to pay the fee. We're the,
the army.
We're the Brits. We've conquered half the known world. We'll be right. And then they'd get halfway across and then they'd get attacked.
Wow.
In January 1808, the Chinese Qing dynasty really went after her and had a series of battles. But Ching Shi was able to gain the upper hand and captured many of the government ships. She did this by offering anyone who defected their life and a place in her army. Embarrassingly for the emperor, lots of his subjects and a large portion of his navy defected. This only increased her power.
Whoa.
It's said that the choice for the defeated enemy was either you have your feet nailed to the deck of your boat and then you get beaten to death, or you can jump ship and join us and you even get to celebrate the victory. I think I know what I'd be picking.
Yeah,
holy,
do I have to marry that
shit
guy, though? Nail the feet.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's like, oh, come on.
why does this keep happening? Come on.
I just want to find love.
He tries to add it to the very end. Like, she's going, oh, you can come and live your lives with us, live on, fight with us, or you have your feet nailed down, you go down with your ship. And you have to marry me. Or no deal.
Oh, God. Bring out the nails.
Yeah, that's all right. In fact, I'll just do it myself if you like. Making eye contact with him. Yeah. No, this is because I don't want to marry you.
Aww.
No.
So she thwarted attempts by the Chinese emperor and did the same thing to the Portuguese navy and the powerful East India Company. Again, quoting from Atlas Obscura, an East India Company employee named Richard Glasspool was captured by Ching Chi's pirates in September 1809 and held until December of that year. In his account of the ordeal, he estimated that there were some 80,000 pirates under Ching Chi's command and some 1,000 large junks and 800 smaller junks and rowboats. So just for comparison, our main man, Blackbeard, that we've done the web series episode on that just reported on, he commanded 4 ships and had 300 pirates. And he's the most famous pirate.
She's crazy.
Oh, she would have knocked him over in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Sounds like that would be one of the strongest armies in the world.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
It should be noted that the most count about 17,000 male pirates directly under her control, and the rest of the 80,000 were other pirate groups who agreed to work for her fleet. But still, it was huge.
Yeah.
300 for Blackbeard. She's got at least 17,000.
Wow. She's delegating. That's
yeah, exactly. That's what Blackbeard wasn't good at. He was all about his reputation, you know?
And just the fizzling beard.
Yeah. It was all theatre.
He's all about, yes, he was. He was just an actor. She's she's a fucking commander.
Yeah, he trod the board. She walked the plank.
Yeah.
And she went in the ocean. Well, no, I've done this wrong. I meant to make him walk the plank.
No. Swimming around, trying to be cool. No, I meant it. No, I meant it.
That's how her whole empire comes crashing down.
Bad pantomime.
Fuck. Oh, I do that every time. Oh, I keep walking the plank.
So over in the West at this time, it was seen as bad luck for a woman to even be on a ship.
Okay.
But in the China Sea during this time, the largest pirate army in history was being led by a woman.
Bad luck for who? The woman? The ship? Just in general?
Yeah.
Bad luck for who?
For the ship.
Okay, for a woman to be on it.
Mm.
Okay, that's baffling.
I think she's maybe proven a few people wrong here.
Yeah. Well, and apparently it really pissed off the male emperor at the time that it was a lady.
He's like, but it's bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck for you, emperor.
Yeah, it's funny. I think, superstitions, they've never made a lot of sense.
Yeah. I do love a man upset that a woman is capable of something. That is fun.
Steam coming out of
your ears. Yeah, that's always fun.
Learning from Shi herself and how she was able to lure defectors to her side, the emperor offered an amnesty to all pirates of the Red Flag fleet that would give themselves up, hoping to usurp Ching Shi's monopoly of the sea. So he was like, oh, you can walk away scot-free if you give up now. Trying to break her power.
Yeah.
That's fun. I love that kind of power play from the weaker party. Hey, yeah. We'll let you quit now while you're way ahead.
Yeah. You heard the phrase quit while you're ahead? Can you do that?
Please?
It'd really help me out.
Yeah.
Because I've got no moves left. And I reckon in a few weeks, I'll probably have to give up. I mean, what? Did I
we'll
say that?
We'll go easy on you, I mean, yeah. If right. You do.
It'll help you out a lot. It was at this time that the Portuguese were getting fed up too, so they launched an attack on the Red Flag fleet for constantly attacking their ships. The fleet had previously defeated the Portuguese, but this time they sent in their biggest and best warships, and the Red Flag fleet, the RFF, were severely outgunned.
Oh.
Over a series of battles called the Battles of the Tiger's Mouth.
That's
which is
fucking
so cool.
That is badass.
Yeah, badass. The Battles of the Tiger's Mouth.
There's big teeth.
Even
in
like
there.
The Tiger Mouth fleet is better than Red Flag.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fleet.
The Tiger Mouth fleet. Like
you
that.
Know?
And then everyone like has an animal.
Yeah.
So there's the lion.
Yep. A tiger.
The beaver.
Yep.
They're like, what the fuck?
There's a walrus there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a platypus and everyone's like, what the fuck is that?
What
and they're like,
that?
Trust me.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
It's one of only two monotremes, so pretty cool.
It's a pretty big deal. The plural is platypi. Everyone's like, fuck off, Gavin.
Stop talking, Gavin.
We're in the middle of a battle and you're making up animals.
Gavin's like, well, if someone would marry me, I'd have something to do.
Poor Gavin.
I'm very lonely.
He sucks.
The males have venomous spurs.
Gavin. All right, Gavin. Honestly, you don't get to participate in this battle today.
I've got a tattoo. All right, mate.
All right, mate.
We've all seen your tattoo.
No one cares.
So this is the Battle of the Tiger's Mouth. The Portuguese continually defeated the pirates near Macau.
Ooh.
Leading the fleet was Qing Shi's son slash husband, Chung Po Sai. Despite the huge Chinese numbers, the pirate fleet had in fact greater difficulties manoeuvring around the small Portuguese fleet without blocking each other or getting in the line of fire. There was actually too many of them.
Yeah, right.
To actually go anywhere. They'd be like, oh no, you're in the... Oh no. So the Portuguese gunners, on the other hand, could accurately fire explosive rounds on the concentrated mass of enemy junks. So they just massacred them, basically.
Wow.
Eventually, the junk ships retreated up a river where the large Portuguese ships couldn't follow, but the Portuguese countered by blockading the mouth of the river, trapping the pirates inside. The pirates, including their leader, Qing Shi, decided at this point to take advantage of the Chinese Emperor's offer of clemency. The entire crew of the Red Flag Fleet, thousands of them, were forced to surrender in 1810. Amazingly, they were even allowed to keep their loot.
Oh, what? So they... I was wondering if they were going to actually come through on the deal.
That's how desperate the government was to stop them. They were like, cool, stop.
But it's funny, and they're like, yeah, we're not absolutely about to get obliterated by the Portuguese. So, yeah, I don't know why I haven't said it, because it's not happening.
This is our call. Yeah, and we've all had a chat about it.
We just want to do the right thing.
Yeah, we just wanted to like have a quiet life. Do you know what I mean? That's nuts. Wow.
So according to Cindy Valor's History of Maritime Piracy, less than 400 pirates suffered any form of punishment. 60 were banished for 2 years, 151 exiled, and 126 were executed. But the remaining 17,318 pirates just surrendered their weapons, and they got to keep their loot. Some of them were even offered jobs in the Chinese Navy, including Qing Shi's husband slash son, Chung Po, who received the rank of lieutenant and took command of a private fleet of 20 junks.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
that is crazy.
Weeks earlier, they were like, he was like public enemy number one or two. Oh. And then they were like,
Have a fleet.
Yeah, you'll be pretty good, actually.
And what about Qing Shi?
Well, Qing Shi and Chung Po eventually had children of their own, making Chung both their father and big brother.
That is so weird.
Hasn't he? Surely he's relinquished one of those roles, yeah, right? Surely the son thing is not still... Is he still going, hey, and I'm your son too, babe.
babe slash mum.
Oh.
I reckon they probably dropped that bit.
Yeah, it's probably just...
But you've really stuck with it.
Yeah.
Making us all feel weird.
Yeah, because it's fun. It's fun to point out that he was their brother and their dad.
That is weird and fun.
Mm.
That is fun. Yeah.
Probably also a cousin somehow.
Chung
Po would later die at sea, leaving Qing Shi widowed for a second time. After this, she moved the family to Macau, where she opened a gambling house and was also involved in the salt trade. And she was a very, very wealthy woman.
She is a hectic life. Nuts.
All up, she'd only been in charge for 3 years, but had amassed the largest pirate fleet in history and taken command of the entire Chinese sea, all by the age of 35. Pretty awesome.
Fuck.
Pretty amazing. And she only appeared in the history books at 25. Before that, we don't even know.
Yeah, who knows what she was doing then?
She died in her bed surrounded by her family at the age of 69.
Nice.
It's a rare peaceful end for someone involved in piracy.
Yeah.
Nearly every other pirate dies a horrible, horrible death.
Yeah, I was expecting that.
Yeah.
I thought that's what the Portuguese...
No, she retired at 35, kept all the money, invested well in gambling and salt.
And that was... and lived another... that was halfway
yes,
point
a whole
of her
second
life.
Half of her life, and just died surrounded by loved ones. Amazing life.
Wow.
Characters based on Qing Shi have appeared in TV, film and graphic novels, and even a children's book came out a couple of years ago. Some of our listeners might know that a character that is loosely based on her appears in the 2007 classic film Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, the third one in the franchise. The character is called Mistress Qing and is portrayed by American actor Takayo Fisher. She's one of the nine pirate lords of the Brethren Court, the powerful leader of the Pirate Confederation of China.
I was so into the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
The first one is a lot of fun, isn't it?
I was like obsessed with it. Watched it a lot.
Got an eye patch.
Got a bird. I did have a bird around that time.
Yeah.
What kind of bird?
I had a budgie. It wasn't quite like a macaw, but you know, sat in my shoulder.
It's pretty cool.
But how many of those movies are there? Because I don't remember that one at all. That's only number three.
Yeah, maybe five.
Yeah, there's too many of them.
Yeah, and reading just the Wikipedia for the film, at the time was the most expensive movie ever made. They really invested in it.
I don't remember it. But there you go. That's because I was going to say it's crazy that that's not as well known a story, but it's probably also just maybe not super well known in our part of the world. And it seems like it has been told in stories and films.
Yeah, for sure. And there is a lot of things that I was reading that I hadn't heard of when I clicked on. There were sort of things in China and countries around that area of the world that have adapted her in graphic novels and TV shows and movies. But that was the most famous sort of Western example that I could find.
That is epic. What a life.
Yeah, Ching Chi, absolutely amazing. Thanks to everyone that suggested that topic. It's been in the hat a long time because you see, like, people, you can suggest a topic at any time. If you go to our website, there's a little link that you click and you can tell us why we should do it. And a lot of them say, hey, she's the most badass, successful pirate in history.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I want to look into this person.
Yeah, we've done a few stories about pirates or, I don't know, adventures on the high seas. Mm. They always go down well. They're fun. It's a wild time. Yeah. Just seems like a real lawless, wild time.
And it just doesn't happen anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're still pirates.
Yeah, I think so.
But not like this.
Yeah.
Not with big caches of treasure buried under an X like they definitely did back then.
Yeah,
now
the good old days of pirating.
How's more DVDs and other
you wouldn't
obsolete
steal
technology.
A car.
Yeah. So imagine playing that to them. Yeah, I would.
Of course I would.
Doing it right now. Beep, beep. Drive off in your car right in front of
you. I'm watching this pirated DVD on the DVD player and the stolen Mercedes I just stole. So.
Dave, that was a fantastic report.
Thank you so much. Well, with that pesky report out of the way, now it's time for everybody's favourite section of the show, the fact, quote, or question. And I'm afraid Matt has had to go because he's a big showbiz guy. Had to go film something.
Oh, la-di-da. I've got to go.
I'm a big movie actor.
Oh, okay. Superstar.
I got Tom Cruise on speed dial.
Okay. Can I talk to him, please?
You put me on. He never puts us on.
He never does.
But because Matt's not here, I'm going to be doing the fact, quote, or question, which I believe Jess has a little jingle.
Fact, quote, or question.
Ding.
He always remembers the ding.
Oh, incredible.
Do you feel a lot of pressure reading the fact, quote, or question? I had to do it. Had the pleasure of doing it. A few months ago, and definitely felt immense pressure.
I do feel a bit of pressure because, like Matt, I haven't read these until I read them now, so could definitely stuff it up. But if you're not familiar, this section of the show, this is part of our Patreon section. If people support the show on the Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe Package at, rest in peace, of course, patreon.com/dogoonpod, as well as all the other tiers, which gets 3 bonus episodes, access to the Facebook group, pre-sale stuff, a newsletter once a week that you put together, Jess, and we all sort of give us an update of what we're doing, a bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. Lots of rewards, but this one, you get to be part of the fact, quote, or question, which means you give us a fact, quote, or a question, and you also give yourselves a title.
Yeah, lots of creative titles too.
And we've got 4 this week, and first up we have Nathan Damon.
Damon.
Da man.
We know Nathan Damon.
Who has given himself the title of Apprentice Chisel Sharpener for the Dugowon Mount Rushmore Construction Project.
Yes, that's an important job.
I love that. I'm assuming that the Mount Rushmore is the 3 of us plus either Sydney Sheinberg himself or Nick Mason. What do you reckon? It's probably Maso.
Probably Maso, yeah. The 4th Beatle.
The 4th Beatle, Maso. So.
And just got a better looking head.
Yeah.
Than Sheinberg, I reckon.
Much better.
Yeah. Good beard.
Yeah, he's probably easier for them to construct too because Mace's got a real look.
Yeah, I reckon beards must be easier than chins, hey?
Yeah.
Chins are hard. Jaws, ugh.
Yuck.
Difficult.
Especially if they're chiseled like ours.
Yeah, exactly.
But thanks to Nathan for keeping the chisel sharp. And he's given us a quote this week, and that is, you tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is never try.
Mm.
And that is from Homer J. Simpson. And Nathan's written, just in case you didn't manage to get a Simpsons reference in this episode. And I don't think we did,
I'm
Nathan.
Not sure that we did, Nathan.
I think you might have saved us there.
Wow. What a perfectly timed quote.
Yeah, thank you so much. And just in case, can I just say, Skinner says the teachers will crack any minute. Purple monkey dishwasher.
There we go. Thank you so much, Nathan. Really picking up the slack there.
Yeah.
I feel like I really let everyone down by not giving one.
No, hey, no, it's not just on you. It's mostly on you, but it's not just your responsibility.
That's right. Well, actually, when we look at this, so Jacob Lane, one of our Patreon supporters, famously does a Simpsons audit every week where he writes down the references that we make and then what episode they come from. And when he does, it's not always just me. There's plenty from Matt and plenty from you too. So we do.
Not plenty from me, but it's always a delight when I get on the board.
It's probably also a delight for Jacob to get to the end and go, oh, I don't have to worry about it this week.
Yeah, exactly. But sucked in, Jacob.
Sucked in. You're going to have to credit one to Nathan Damon. Next up, we have Jessica English, who says, their title is Council of Maritime Law, exclusively working on getting the pod into international waters.
Your dream.
Definitely. But
quite fitting for today's topic too.
Yes. And a lot of contract work would have to be done.
Yeah.
So appreciate the great work from Jessica English, who's given us a question. The question is, how do you not get paralyzed with indecision? I'm not speaking well. With indecision.
Indecision.
Matt really doesn't read this before he reads this. He does a great job. How do you not get paralyzed with indecision when trying to pick a topic from the hat or even a couple to put up for the vote? Thank you all for being enjoying. For all the joy you bring, it has been a real big assist this year. Looking forward to the world tour.
Yeah, which we're, you know, halfway through, so I hope you're enjoying it. That is a fantastic question, and the answer is we do get paralyzed with indecision. It's not indecision, especially when you're sort of trying to find a few that you can put up to the hat, put up to the vote, I mean. But sometimes I would spend hours trying to find a topic that either I'm into that grabs my attention
I'm totally with you often because we usually put up three for the vote. I don't know if you find this. You find two. You got to find a third one that's worthy.
Yeah.
You spend another hour going through because there are over 5,000 suggestions now.
Oh, even more than that now. I think it's like close to 7,000.
Wow. So it is obviously quite a lot of suggestions.
It's so much. And I generally would often put up four topics as well.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, just to give heaps of options.
Well, I have found that I had to put up because we're doing geographic specific ones for the world tour. For this topic, finding three Asian topics, having something to look for, that made it easier.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And especially when you're like, I've got to do a Patreon bonus episode, I'll look for, because that's one of the options.
Yeah, like people mark them as, this would be a good mini one. Yeah.
Or a Christmas one, or that can be really helpful. But, yeah, especially when you don't really have a specific theme you're looking for. So you're just like, it could be anything. It could be a serial killer or a biography or just a fun World War II story or something.
Yeah.
There's so many that it can be a very long process of just pulling ones out to then put up to the vote. And then you start researching once the votes come in.
Because you got
to
do that. Like you were saying on this episode, you do a little bit of a search to make sure that the topic is enough.
Yeah.
So you got to do that three or four times.
Yeah.
And they're just the ones that get picked. So, yeah, no, it can be hard. But often, I got to say, the ones that stick out are the ones where people have pitched it really well.
Yeah, that's true. Or given good resources, then you can sort of just click on that link and go, oh, okay, I can read a bit about this.
Yeah, there's a story here.
But there's definitely some as well that I go, oh, what's this? And I Google it and go, oh, that's fucked. I won't do that. there's barely any information on it. If it doesn't even have a decent Wikipedia page, you're like, oh, there's probably not going to be a lot of info on this.
Yeah, that means because there's no other sources to make that. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for your question, Jessica English.
Great question.
Next up now is Katie Murphy. Thanks so much for your support. Katie has given herself the title Sticking with Podcast Head of Ethnomusicology.
That's a great title. Why wouldn't you stick with it?
Exactly. And you're doing great work. And Katie's given us a quote this week, and that is, even the prim and proper Judy Garland was not one to use profanity very often, but Liza Minnelli shared an anecdote from a time they were confronted by a particularly frustrating fan, a drunk old woman in a public restroom. She knocked on the bathroom stall Judy was in, slurring her praises and urged her to, quote, never forget the rainbow, Judy, over and over again, to which Garland scathingly replied, quote, how can I forget the rainbow? I've got rainbows up my ass.
Nice. I've got rainbows up my ass.
Oh, my God.
That sort of reminds, it's like a panicked kind of comeback where it doesn't fully make sense. It's like when we were in Mexico when I was 8 years old. And that we were walking through like markets and people were trying to sell us stuff. And this guy had all, he had his entire arm. He had, necklaces all up his arm trying to sell necklaces. And he was like, you know, any of these, they're real gold. And my mum meant to say, yeah, real gold, my ass. But what she said was as real as my ass. And we're all like, what?
Does mum have a fake butt?
It's like, you could just say no thanks, Mum. It's all right. But she was just like, she'd just been hassled too many times.
I know the feeling. Yeah. Sometimes you just go, this. You just get overwhelmed.
I don't want it and you're in my face and as real as my ass. Very funny. Rainbows up my ass.
That's great. Judy Garland swearing at you. You would not forget that.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Katie. And finally, the main man, Gary J from the UK, has given us a... a fact, but his title is Mr. UK 1984. What a claim. Great stuff. I cannot dispute it.
That's great.
The fact from Gary J is John Lithgow turned down the role of Dr. Fraser Crane in Cheers. His reasoning being he said TV acting was below him and he saw himself as a movie star. He regretted that choice and starred in such shows as...
I just left that there.
Dot, dot, dot. Third Rock from the Sun, yeah. I'm thinking.
Yep.
The Crown.
Oh, yeah, he's in The Crown,
he
of course.
He was great as Winston Churchill.
Yeah, he was really good. John Lithgow's great.
He is very, very good.
It's so funny that he's like, TV is so below me, but a whole generation of his fans know him from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was fantastic in Third Rock from the Sun.
He was so good at...
So manic and crazy and...
Dick Solomon. And I recently watched, speaking of his movie career, Cliffhanger, the Sylvester Stallone film for the first time last week from the 90s. John Lithgow is the bad guy. And he does make a good psychopath. But
well, there you go.
Yeah, his big work, of course, Third Rock.
Yeah. That's a great fact, Gary. Well done.
Thanks, Gary J.
Well, that brings us to everyone's other favourite part of the show.
Equal favourite.
Equal favourites, where we shout out, give some thanks to the people who do support us over on patreon.com/dogoonpod. And if you are on the associate producer or above level of Patreon, then you get one of these shout outs. And some of these people have been waiting for a long time and... now's their time to shine.
Well, it's definitely worth the wait because, Jess, you always come up with a game with a way that we can shout out to them in the theme of the episode.
Yeah. And I can't stop thinking about the red flag fleet. First of all, so hard to say.
It's a bit clunky.
Second of all, it's not at all intimidating.
Yeah.
It doesn't – I wouldn't be proud to be in the red flag fleet. It's no. So hard to say.
It is hard. I'm hoping that maybe the original Cantonese or something was
– oh, yeah.
Maybe that's rolled off the tongue a bit better.
It sounded a bit
cooler.
And our
clunky translation. But still, you think about it, the red flag fleet, just the overall imagery is not really there.
You say it so much easier than me. Red flag fleet. Oh, I hate it. Anyway, so I was thinking maybe we could give them a much cooler gang title.
Oh, yeah.
Fleet, gang, posse, whatever you want it to be. But, you know, we could just give them like a bit of a street cred.
All right.
What do you reckon?
I love it.
Okay. Good. I'm proud of us. Shall I start?
Please.
I would love to thank from Missoula, MT.
I just looked it up because I had to be sure because there's so many M's.
Yeah.
Montana, that
one. Oh, Montana. Yes. Missoula and Montana. I would love to thank Anna Milheim.
Anna Milheim.
That's a fantastic name.
Yeah, that is good.
Milheim is good. Anna is good. Anna Milheim. Oof. Fantastic. Okay. What do we know about Montana? Anything? I say that to you. Okay. I don't know anything.
There's that book in school that I studied, Montana 1948.
Hannah Montana.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay, great. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe something like Miley Cyrus, like a Cyrus.
Oh, Cyrus the Virus.
Oh!
The nickname of John Malkovich's character in Con Air, one of my all-time favorite action movies. Cyrus the Virus.
I like that, yeah. And they're obviously a gang that... hijacks planes.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, oh, the coolest.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for your support. I would also love to thank from Hampshire in Great Britain, I would love to thank Phil Ellis.
Phil Ellis.
Phyllis.
Philolis, how about The Dirty Harpoons?
Holy shit, that's good.
Not sure where it came from, but...
I love it. The Dirty Harpoons.
Because if they're going to... You'd be worried if they hit you with a harpoon, you're going to get an infection.
Totally, yeah. You're like, oh, they haven't cleaned their harpoons.
Yeah, clean it. Oh, my God.
Clean harpoons, please. Yeah. They're like, nah.
Nah, this is a dirty harpoon. He likes, they spit on their harpoon before they throw it at
you.
Yeah,
when they get a brand new one, they dirty it up first.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it wastes a lot of time, but they're very committed to it. So thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
Fuck, we're doing so well. I'm so proud of us. And I'd also love to thank from Pimpama in Queensland.
Amazing. I've never heard of that.
Pimpama, just in case. I'd love to thank Joel Broom.
Joel Broom.
Sweep. Something sweep. The clean sweeps.
Yes, the clean sweeps. That's great.
Get it, broom.
That, yeah, that sounds like that's a good bowling team.
Yeah, the clean sweeps. And they are just like 300 every fucking game, baby. Strike, strike, strike. Very cool.
Spare. Still pretty good.
Still pretty good. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, me too.
Do you want to thank some people?
Thanks, Joel Broom. I would like to thank, yes, from Austell in Georgia in America, Caroline Stoltz.
Caroline Stoltz.
I mean, I always go Sweet Caroline.
Of course,
that.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure Caroline gets that so often. That
okay,
she's
what about.
Beyond even politely laughing now.
So, how about I set you up?
Okay.
The Sour
Pusses.
I like it.
You had to know that was going to happen.
The sweet. Yeah, that's sour, better than the sweet pusses. The Sour Pusses.
Yeah. And they're just kind of like, they're just sort of like the bad girls.
Yeah.
You know, they're the popular girls, but they're kind of bitchy. But everyone still wants to be them.
Of course.
Yeah. Every guy wants to be with them. Every girl wants to be them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I know what it's like.
I'm so sorry, Caroline.
Thanks, Caroline Stoltz and the Sour Pusses. Going back to Montana again, from Bozeman in Montana, I would like to thank Anita Matthews.
Anita Matthews. Anita Matthews. Okay, all right. I'll set you up.
Okay.
The... I didn't have anything to set you up. The... Whistling...
Fire breathers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Very
I think
cool.
That works.
They're a circus troupe.
Yep.
But again, the bad boys of the circus troupe.
Oh.
They will fuck you up.
The fire breathers are the bad boys of the circus
Big
troupe.
Big time,
surely.
Yeah. All the strong men, they're always a bit like, whoa, you're strong.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God, I want to do trapeze. I want to do trapeze so badly.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be scared?
Nah. I'm not sure I have the core strength, though. I need to work on that, and then I want to do trapeze.
I love the idea of going to a PT. What, so what do you want to get out of this?
What are your goals?
I want to do trapeze.
I want to have enough core strength to be able to lift my feet up and put them over a bar and then let a nice strong man catch me.
What do you think?
They're like, great.
Fantastic. Here's your 11-week plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And finally for me, I would like to thank from Bedale or Bedale, North Yorkshire, Ian Hayes.
Ian Hayes.
Thank you, Ian Hayes.
Ian Hayes. Okay. From North Yorkshire. The light
moths.
The light moths. Yes.
Yeah, light moths.
They're only out at night time.
Mm-hmm. And people flock to them.
Yeah.
Like moths to a light.
Yes. We are so good at this.
Yeah, we are so good at naming badass pirate crews.
Incredible.
Ian Hayes, the light moth.
Thank you so much to Ian, Anita, Caroline, Joel, Phil, and Anna. You're all absolute legends. And
you complete us.
There's just one more thing that we need to do, Dave. Do you want to explain what the Triptych Club is while I find the Triptych Club
Yes, please.
People?
So we've given a few people a shout-out there, but the shout-outs don't just end there.
Mm-mm.
Because people that have been on that level for the shout-out for 3 consecutive years without dropping off, which is a huge feat to commemorate that.
Massive.
We've come up with a thing called the Triptych Club, which is, you know...
Special little lounge.
Yeah, a little lounge slash bar slash club, whatever you want it to be, basically.
Mm.
We lift up the velvet rope each week and welcome a few people in as life members to the Triptych Club.
Yeah.
There's usually a musical act that I book. You organise some hors d'oeuvres.
Yep.
Usually a drink.
Yep.
Have you got any ideas?
Well, It's so handy that I went out for a very nice lunch today for a friend's birthday, because then I have like ideas in my head of foods other than just the same three takeaways I've been ordering quite frequently in lockdown. Yes. So hors d'oeuvres wise, we've got some pumpkin arancini.
Oh, I love pumpkin arancini. Yes,
I love arancini in general.
Yeah.
So yum. And we also had, I mean, in the Triptych Club, we have an assortment of wood fire pizzas.
I'm sorry, have you just got your leftovers that you've just driven in to the club?
I wish there was leftovers.
Yeah, yeah.
And drinks-wise, mojitos.
Oh, I love mojitos.
So refreshing.
Mm.
A few different flavors. And we also have espresso martinis if you need a little pick-me-up.
Wow, we're going all out this week.
And they're really nice ones too. They're really good. So, yeah, there's that. And who's playing this week?
Well, to celebrate our time in Asia, I've actually been able to ink a contract with Asia's hottest act right now, the Korean band BTS.
No way.
Can you believe it?
I can't. They're huge.
All 6, 7, or 8 members. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. But that is, I know that's a big deal.
Yeah, light me up like dynamite, if I am to quote one of their songs, I believe.
Wow. This is probably one of our biggest gets.
Yeah, for sure. They are so hot right now.
They are so hot.
So hot, hot, hot.
And, Dave, you'll be very happy to know that we only have two people to welcome into the Triptych Club this week, because it is your job to sort of hype them up. And it's like it's something that you're very good at, but that you also find quite stressful now.
Yes, I freeze in the moment. It became a thing where I would hype people up sort of as a – I definitely did it as a joke.
Yeah.
And then now – it's expected.
Yeah. And so the pressure is on. But then that's where I came in to then hype you up.
Yeah.
Which is going to be kind of hard today because I also have to take the role of Matt and read them.
Yeah. You're basically like emceeing the guest list. I'm hyping them up. Then you're my hype man as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I feel like I can do it. So welcoming in to the Triptych Club from Manchester in Great Britain, it's Jack Marsland.
Woo! Taking you straight to Marsland.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! And also from Mount Glorious in Queensland, Timothy Barry.
Well, things just got Mount Glorious in here yes. tonight.
Yes. See?
Oh, imagine if I missed that one.
Yeah, that was...
To be honest...
Honestly, when I read Mount Glorious, I was like, oh my God, Dave.
It's all over. I didn't even listen to the surname. What was it?
Timothy Barry.
Barry? Well, you've won the Barry Award.
There we go.
Which doesn't exist anymore, it's but it used to that, be the Comedy Festival Best Show Award, so well done to you.
Barry Humphries has said some pretty problematic things, so we went, oh, let's not name an award after him anymore.
Yes.
But he's very old. Anyway, so thank you to Jack Marsland, Timothy Barry, and all the other patrons that we thanked, and for everybody for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed listening, you can also watch this episode.
That is absolutely correct, Jess. If you'd like to watch this episode, just go to sospresents.com because we did a live stream of it and you get to watch the episode with extra bits that we have edited out of the audio because it didn't make sense because we were doing some visual stuff.
Yeah, we were being a bit silly.
We were mucking around. My head got a little bit shiny.
Yeah.
And then and it distracted me during the report. But you didn't know that because I imagine edited that out. And then also we did an extra, like maybe 45-minute extra show that Matt's come up with called Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. He was taking us through some crazy facts about Asia.
Mm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And those streams, at the time of recording, we've got a couple more to do, and they'll be available on sospresents.com for forever, essentially. So if you're listening to this 3 months down the track, a year down the track, and you think, oh, damn it, I missed it. No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's okay. Just go there, and you get a season pass. You get all four of the season for the price of three. And you can do that with also the two previous seasons. This is actually the 10th one we've done this year.
Which is crazy. We've been very lucky to be able to do that during COVID. We're very, very pleased with that. So, yeah. Yeah, you can go check that out. That would be very nice of you. How do we boot this home?
We just say thanks to everyone and go to dogoonpod.com for all the links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our YouTube channel. And our Gmail if you'd like to email us.
And follow me on Instagram, please, Jess Perkins.
She's very close to 10,000.
I need this.
You do.
I need this.
Your self-esteem is on the line.
Yeah. It's at an all-time low. but if I just get to 10,000, maybe then I'll feel good about myself. Yeah,
I reckon that's a guarantee. So thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, I'll say thank you and goodbye.
Laters. Bye. I had to do both, but I think I did very well.
Very well.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.